answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
We then got details from the Iranian media on what exactly this deal may entail. And it includes, I'm going to list them off for you, on the nuclear file, no new agreement regarding Iran's nuclear program. And Iran will not make any new commitments. They say that on the Strait of Hormuz, again, this is Iranian state media reporting, that they make no commitment to relinquish control over the Strait of Hormuz. When it comes to ending the war, they said that the U.S. committed to ending the Israeli regime's war in Lebanon. They called for an end to the war. And when it comes to frozen assets, the Iranians are also saying that part of the funds that are being frozen will be released immediately.
And that was a statement read by Al Jazeera broadcast outlet as to how the Iranians responded to Trump saying yesterday, we're close to an agreement and it will be this and this and this. And they countered everything he said. Well, you know that didn't make Trump happy. And yes, there was shooting overnight between the U.S. firing in Iran because they'd fired on us again. And yet, still talk that maybe we could close in on the agreement this weekend. Let me take a moment and then we'll break it down for you. Welcome to hour number two, Larry Connors USA, where you get news, analysis, commentary, and education. You leave this hour with more knowledge than you have as we began. That's the same for every hour we bring you. And later in this hour, we're going to go back in history when Dems, and I should say in history, it still exists today, where Democrats denigrate women, will not defend them, cannot even identify what is a woman. We'll go back to some previous congressional hearings where they make themselves so obvious. And what they're doing right now on basically supporting a Nazi. I'll get to that as well. But first, as I mentioned, President Trump ripped into the Iranian media based on the report you just heard. He said the terms that Iran leaked out to the fake news have nothing to do with the terms they did agree to in writing. What they said, including their weak and pathetic statement on having a deal, bears no relation to the truth. This is all on his Truth Social account. And he added, very dishonorable people to deal with. With them, there is no such thing as dealing in good faith. Amazing. Also, their totally rebuffed drone attack last night against Indian ships leaving the Hormuz Strait. Totally unacceptable. They better get their act together and fast. That was his statement earlier today. And a White House source within the administration still claims that Trump is moving to wrap up with an Iranian agreement that will definitely keep the regime from getting nukes, and the Iranians will sign on it. But, of course, we had to go back to the Reagan approach. Trust but verify. No, we're not going to trust these guys in any way. But again, the Iranian news agency said our future with Iran nuclear, we'll be talking about that within a 60-day period after we sign this other agreement. Well, they like to stall every turn. And we do know that. They had no problem with doing that. And the left, thank God we have a man like Trump right now dealing with them. But the left continues to do whatever they can to undermine this nation inside our borders and even inside our nation's capital. Listen to this question posed to President Trump.
Here in Washington, D.C., there's a Democratic primary for mayor. One of the two leading candidates, Janice Lewis-George, is running a Zoran Mandami campaign. It's focused on socialist policies. How would you feel if she emerges victorious in next Tuesday's
primary? Well, I wouldn't like it, and maybe we'd take back Washington and run it on the federal basis. We won't put up with it. We're not going to lose our businesses.
Yeah. Well, I know that's going to infuriate the left that he'd talk about. We will take control of D.C. again. And of course, they want to make D.C. a 51st state. Can you imagine the crisis we would be in if D.C. itself were a state filled with Democrat leftist loonies. They found yesterday the numbers 8647 carved into a section of grass on the National Mall just days before large crowds are going to be gathering in D.C. for that UFC cage match scheduled on President Trump's birthday. This is the grass east of the World War II Memorial. Supposedly, officials don't know exactly when they were made because of picture on 2 days earlier did not show the numbers, but they're not visible from the ground level anyway, so they have to be seen from above. They're testing the grass to see if some kind of toxic chemical was put on them. They don't think if it was out there with a mower, they would have been able to identify that. But 8647, basically 86 slang for removing or getting rid of something, 47 referring to Trump as the 47th president of the United States, carved into grass at our National Mall. And the left really doesn't seem to be that concerned about it. Do you know that? And in fact, the RNC chair, the Republican National Committee chair, said, just look at how they're all gathering around to support a Nazi.
National Democrats have embraced and doubled and tripled down their support for Plattner, and that's a reflection of their party. They've gone so far out of the mainstream to appease their wackadoo base that they're across the country. They're giving us a lot of the matchups that we really were hoping for, and so as a result, that's why we have a chance to defy history. I think that only for the fifth time in the last 150 years, we're going to be able to hold the majorities, and it's starts in Maine with both that congressional seat and the U.S. Senate seat.
But see, they're willing to support Plattner because they want Susan Collins replaced in the Senate. She is not a great Trump supporter. She voted against him several times. I don't think she's done a good job for her constituents, but hell yes, she would be better than having a Nazi. Oh, how do I know he's a Nazi? Well, he had this tattoo on his body for decades. And then when he's running for Senate, he realized, maybe I better cover that up. And then saying, well, I didn't really know what it was when I got it. You're an idiot. Plattner has served our country in combat. For that, I will praise him. I assume he was helping and fighting for our side at the time. But I want to share where they are right now. This is a piece written by Brianna Lyman. We've had her on before with The Federalist. And she says the left strained to find Nazi symbolism in Republicans. It accused everyone of being a Nazi, and yet when presented with Plattner, they emphatically insist he's not a Nazi. Really? The New York Times' Michelle Goldberg wrote in January, for the last decade, there's been a debate among people who don't like Donald Trump about whether he's a fascist. Brianna Lyman points out, the debate isn't a debate in the normal sense of the word. That is, it was not a good faith disagreement between two sides weighing evidence. It was a decade-long screaming fest from half the country that insisted anyone they disagreed with politically was Hitler. And now they've got a Hitler candidate. But they won't acknowledge it. The New York Times' Michelle Goldberg, writing back in January, emphatically declaring that Graham Plattner is no Nazi, despite him wearing the tattoo for plus 20 years, only to have it covered up and removed over and everything. And what he said about rape and being blacked out, the people you mess around with, things he would say about gays, they're willing to let all that go as long as they can get him in. An MSNBC op-ed said, Donald Trump has truly earned comparison to Adolf Hitler. Is he gassed anyone? He's put anyone in concentration camps. It's come nowhere close to that, to any extent. The New Republic ran a cover of Trump portrayed as Hitler and said, this is what American fascism would look like. And that's what Brianna Lyman's pointing out. You have been calling everybody in the Trump camp Nazis and Hitler, and now you've got one in your own midst, and you're embracing him. You're pulling him closer. Jody Kantner at the New York Times, who won a Pulitzer Prize, and it does not have a lot of great value anymore, the way it's being handed out like candy. She got a Pulitzer Prize for coverage of men behaving badly at the height of the hashtag MeToo movement. She is now running around dismissing all the evidence against Senate candidate Graham Plattner. She just wants to put it aside. She's not going to listen to the women and their stories. Where was it? Believe the women. That's what they were pushing. And back to Breonna Lyman's report in The Federalist, her opinion piece, I should point out. Again, she said, this has not been a debate about whether he's a fascist, not in good, normal sense, because it's not good faith disagreement with sides weighing evidence. It's a decade-long screaming fest from half the country. And here's a perfect example. As Texas Congressman Wesley Hunt and Texas Congresswoman Jasmine Crockett are talking about the values of race, racism, and everything else that Jasmine and the rest of the left wants to destroy.
The Democrat Party has built an entire political machine on grievance.
The vast majority of them are white men. White men are lecturing people of color.
Racism, white supremacy, Jim Crow, democracy is dying. Why? Because fear is the currency of the Democrat Party.
You want to tell people of color who is fighting for who?
Division is their strategy. Outrage is their oxygen.
If I see a black pilot, I'm going to be like, boy, I hope he's qualified. Does that sound like a hater or not?
Colleague that talked about, you know, seeing a black pilot and what that would mean to Charlie Kirk's comment.
We made a huge mistake when we passed the Civil Rights Act.
Funny, black pilot here, by the way. I actually went to fly school, West Point graduate, learned how to fly.
Okay, these all just happen to be comments from the fearless leader of Turning Point USA.
In 2005, you see, there was no DEI. We just simply competed with everyone else.
People of color do not feel comfortable or welcomed within your party.
And nobody gave a damn what I looked like because I got there on merit.
And I would imagine Congressman Wesley Hunt feels absolutely comfortable inside the Republican Party, as do other minorities that are part of the party. But Jasmine and the left want to continue to promote racism constantly. And she's trying to build points, racist points, on the murder of that Texas teenager, Austin Metcalf. She's crying about the 35-year prison sentence given his killer, Carmelo Anthony.
He ended up hitting Austin one time, and it was about where he hit him. One time, 2 inches. This wasn't someone who said, hey, let me stab you 5, 6, 7 times. And so when you're looking at the punishment range, there's a reason in Texas that it goes from 5 to 99 or life, because you are looking at how intentional, like how bad was this? 35 years? A lot of people don't know what it is to live as a black person in this country, but just like you can give the benefit of the doubt to so many police officers when they go out and they shoot some black unarmed person, even though they are trained, the fact that there was little to no mercy seen or humanity seen when this black boy said that I was scared, or the fact that honestly anybody else who did something with such a small object, all I know is that it wasn't considered unlawful carrying of a weapon because the blade was not long enough.
What she does not understand, it has nothing to do with how long the blade was or how many times he stabbed him. As I'd mentioned in the first hour, I can take the smallest ball peen hammer, or hammer of any type, let's put it that way, or a large stapler and hit you in the right spot on your body and kill you, or at least put you into a coma. I didn't hit you more than once, and it was only a stapler. Well, it was enough. That's an idea of justice. But she wants to call out this Swiss knife that she can't even identify as, well, this should not be considered a murder weapon.
Was it a switch? I don't know what he had.
It was like it seemed like it was a multi-tool, almost like a Swiss Army.
Like with like with the little scissors and everything, mm-hmm. and whatever. So it was small. Mm-hmm. Well, I would argue the size of it alone, you wouldn't even think it's a deadly weapon.
And that's why he had the bag.
If it was one of the little, like, I don't know. Like, I do think.
Well, that's why he went to his coach and was like, but I don't think I hurt him that bad.
Well, what do you say about the guy in the Netherlands that took his car and ran over a group of bikers, killing children and adults? I only hit them one time with my car. Everybody has a car. They like to confuse and obscure facts. I've got one fact that they could put in their hat. A Portland man had been charged with throwing a rock at an ICE officer during a protest. He pled guilty to aggravated assault with a dangerous weapon causing significant injury. He pled guilty to aggravated assault with a dangerous weapon. That was the charge against him. A rock was a dangerous weapon. And he just got sentenced to 30 months in prison. 30 months. Because he did throw a rock at an ICE officer. Good. You're not going to touch our law enforcement agents as they're doing their job. I'm glad to see that that was handed out. Maybe it will stop others from doing similar, or it might again just encourage more to do more. That's how left loonies are born and created and grow. They're a parasite upon society. And they're trying to infect everything around them. You, your children, your grandchildren, anywhere where they can find an opening, they will use it to demonize good. But they will claim that they're doing it for your good. They lie. Are you listening to me? Are you listening? They lie over and over. Before this hour's out, we're going to go back to some congressional hearings dealing with how leftists were all about chemical abortion as a perfect thing. Make it available everywhere, even if it's against the state law. And Senator Kennedy questioning about genders and sexual identities. Pretty interesting conversation from previously. And something President Trump is doing that's going to be great for America again. But first, my guest coming up, 30 years serving with the FBI as counterintelligence agent. Lock and load, ready on the right.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
Spring weather has everyone sneezing, even inside their home or building. Instead of saying Gesundheit, call Wellington Environmental to perform air tests to determine if mold levels are too high. Gesundheit is the same as saying bless you after someone sneezes, the German word meaning wishing you good health. Wellington Environmental can perform air testing that is simple, fast, and can identify issues keeping you from having good health. Wellington does the same for hospitals and nursing homes for indoor concerns. Give them a call. It's simple. 314-644-4930. 644-4930. Tell Cindy, I need air sampling. They've seen it all. They can help you. Next time you hear Gesundheit, think Wellington, Wellington Environmental. Be well with Wellington. McGuire Moving is silver certified, which means they are great at relocating senior citizens. In fact, McGuire is a household name because McGuire understands the stress involved when moving older adults. So if you or family members need help moving, I highly recommend McGuire Moving. 314-241-0600. 241-0600. Get a free in-home estimate. McGuireMoving.com. John Beale Roofing reminds you we are in the stormy season, and that means if you have even the smallest leak in your roof, you could soon have a much bigger issue. call the John Bill to make sure that your biggest investment is protected. That call can save you major dollars. If you do get hit during a storm, John Beal has a rapid response team. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF, John Beal. So many times, Vincent's Jewelers has helped me surprise someone special. Vincent's locally owned can do the same for you, and you don't have to break the bank to get something really nice, maybe even customized. The smile you're going to get back from that special someone, priceless. Check Vincent'sJewelers.com every day because new items are arriving and there are special deals. Vincent's, my only jeweler. Vincent'sJewelers.com. Vincent'sJewelers.com.
This is News Talk STL. This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
Recently, the FBI seized more than a dozen fake consulting websites believed to be actually Chinese intelligence trying to recruit Americans who have security clearances, basically to recruit them to spy against our nation. My next guest is the author of a book titled A Traitor in the FBI. He has spent 30 years in FBI counterintel, and this kind of human recruitment he's been through several times to see how it works and, in fact, help carry out a search for a mole. Wayne Barnes, glad to have you with us, sir.
Thank you very much. I'm very happy to be here.
Well, let's begin back in 1998 as to what the FBI brass did with San Diego and what they considered an off-the-books assignment involving a Hollywood film financier.
Well, the case began in 1998 for my part of it, but in fact what happened was we had learned over years that there was a penetration of the FBI at a senior level, and the question was how that happened, but who that was. So my time in Washington, D.C., worked in counterintelligence, interviewing defectors. It ended in 1990 when I had a daughter born with a disability. We needed a children's hospital in San Diego. Well, I've been a security officer. I worked undercover in many cases. I was gone from Washington in 1990. 8 years later, three agents came out to San Diego, and they told me there's a penetration at senior level. We have a film festival coming up in 2 months in Santa Monica, and a Russian who we know knows the face, has seen the spy in the FBI. He's coming to the film festival, so we want you to gather some kind of backstopping, like a financier for our movies. Go to the festival, find him, meet him, befriend him, recruit him, and then show him photos of a dozen senior agents we suspect of being the spy in the FBI. And Tom Cruise has his Mission Impossible, which are physical obstacles, jumping out of airplanes and things on motorcycles.
Right.
This was psychological.
Right.
There are two superpowers, and the Soviets thought they were members of the best superpower, so why would this guy want to talk to me? But eventually I did meet him. We did become friends. It became a little more complicated than planned, but he eventually did point out a photo of a senior FBI person. And a couple of years, I retired right after that. So I wasn't involved in the very end of that part of the case, but we always say we have the hunt, the kill, and the feast. And the kill, of course, is the arrest by a SWAT team. The feast is the celebration. But my brain always did the hunt. So I would go back for another hunt.
Well, the mole was arrested.
In 2000, on President's Day in 2000, and he went to jail for the rest of his life.
That would be Robert Hansen, is that correct?
Yes, sir, that is.
And that's just one example, and your book, A Traitor in the FBI, deals with that and the other stuff that takes place to how a foreign agent or government is using live sources and maybe computers to recruit moles inside our government. How deep does it run? Probably as deep as they can.
Well, you know, they use the term mice to describe the mnemonic of how someone begins to commit treason. They talk about money, ideology, coercion or compromise, and ego. And in this situation, Hansen was the egoist. He had an egotistical view of life, so he was always the smartest person in the room, even though he worked down the hallway from all these FBI agents.
But when someone needs money, that's the most frequent. You need an operation for your child you can't afford, and insurance won't pay for it. But they will do a personality profile of some sort, whoever they come in touch with. If they can compromise someone, you'll have senators, congressmen taking trips to Russia in the Cold War. They would have their junkins. They would have legislative assistants along. And they'd be driving down the road in a bus, and an attractive woman would be hitchhiking. They bring them into the bus, and what a surprise. She actually is a KGB agent. But then they would end up with compromising, you know, pictures that night. And so that's another way they would compromise them. It seems obvious and stupid, but they would do that. But there's a lot of ways that they would do the compromises.
Now, with Robert Hansen thinking he was the smartest guy in the room, how was he able to evade being caught for a period of time? What was he doing?
Well, you know, with hindsight, it's always easy to picture these right. things. But he came in the Bureau in a time before we were polygraphing people before they came into the Bureau. And that was the one thing. And to be polygraphed, you just can't polygraph an entire headquarters with 1,000 agents in it. You just can't you have to narrow things down. So that's why this recruiting this one individual was important. But they use anything they possibly can. The current ongoing case with the FBI arresting or shutting down 13 job-seeking websites, which is the news today, it doesn't involve any profiling. My old friend John Douglas did profiling for criminal matters, serial murders, and that sort of a thing. Arson, what's the profile? We did profiling in the FBI. What's the personality of a Russian in the Soviet embassy who we think we could recruit? So we did profiling. But here, what the Chinese did was merely wanting people to go to their website and make a application to get some kind of a position, having had government clearances and very secret information. But the problem is that Chinese could not profile any of these individuals other than the fact that they wanted a job, they wanted to change jobs, and they had clearances. They couldn't profile anybody, which was a weak link in their efforts, I think.
You mentioned the term MICE. Would you explain again what MICE was an acronym for?
Right. MICE is a mnemonic, and it's generally identified as the reasons why someone will commit espionage or spy. And the first one is money, which is the most obvious. Even Robert Hansen, he had six children, and at one point he was assigned to New York, and he just couldn't afford all of it. That would not be the ultimate reason. His reason was ego. And right. So there's more than one reason, but right. money is usually the obvious one. The second one is ideology. You have people like Lee Harvey Oswald, whose brain was a communist, who tried to defect to the Soviet Union, married a Russian woman. And even when he was assigned to the Marines in Japan, he was asserting that he was a communist or a Marxist. So that was he had the ideology besides whatever happened with Kennedy, but that was his basis for dealing with the Soviets. The other one, MIC, is compromise or coercion. If you like the legislative assistant, a good friend of mine from Capitol Hill, who did go on one of the junkets to Russia, and then that evening he did go out with the girl they picked up from the bus, mm-hmm. and he knew there were going to be compromising pictures. But what the Russians did not know is that he had recently been divorced. So when they came to him on Capitol Hill and they showed him 10 pictures of him in compromising positions with this beautiful Russian lady, instead of wanting to give them secrets and wanting them to hide it,
left.
He asked for 10 of each, 8x10, so he could give them to his friends.
Yeah, you can't hold that over the guy if he's not going to be a threat to him. And, of course, then you mentioned right. the ego, which leads us to Robert Hansen. But what
right.
what do they – we see all the things they dangle in front of them, but actually to get them to take that step, what's got to be in the back of the mind of an agent that realizes what I'm getting ready to do here – is going to, one, threaten the security of our nation, which is I took an oath right. to defend our nation, foreign and domestic.
Right. So his situation was different than most would be, where someone will recruit an individual, whether it's through the money or compromise or whatever, but that is the Russians. And then they would know who they're dealing with. They would apply pressure with financial coercion or whatever it may be. But Hansen, he volunteered himself. It was what we call a walk-in. That is that he just walked right into a small Soviet establishment and he made contact with these people. But it was his decision to do this. And they never knew his name. He had given them the name Ramon, which obviously wasn't his name. And he controlled everything. we have people that we know are with the, say, a defense contractor in New Jersey, and they have some kind of connection with Eastern Europe, and the Russians kind of make an overture. Or even the Romanians, Czechs, Poles, and East Germans at the time, they were all connected with the intelligence services. When they come to the FBI, when they report to the security officer they've been approached, sometimes we'll just take it and run with it and see what the bad guys do. How they make the contact, what their efforts are, whether they're going to have dead drop activities in the woods and exchanging secrets. We have to learn the methods. And if we can do that because someone comes to us early, then we can deal with that. But in Hansen's situation, he volunteered himself. He controlled all of the meetings. He drew the maps. He did all the other things to have the dead drop activities that were taking place. And then probably icing on the cake, the moment he was arrested, having just delivered a black garbage bag with secrets in it for his Russian contact to pick up, and the SWAT team came in, the very first thing he said to them was, to the FBI SWAT team, was, "What took you so long?" Meaning, he had such disdain and distaste for the FBI, how he held it. You know, and even in the FBI, those who knew him long before him, they called him a mortician. He always wore black suits. He never was friendly with anybody. He didn't go out after work, worked for not that much drinks, but just socializing, nothing like that. So he was weird to start with. They really should have been able to pick him out sooner. I'm sorry that they did.
And very quickly, how much information do you think he gave that compromised our national security or some of our agents abroad?
Oh, the worst. We had two Russians that we had recruited in 1979, 1980 time frame. Their names were Martinov and Motorin. And we called them M&M, but they were both working in the embassy at the same time, not knowing they were both recruited by the FBI. And they were some of the first names that Hansen gave up.
All right.
And it was very complex, but they lost their lives, you know, within a short time after returning to Russia. Man, he was the worst compromiser of U.S. intelligence that we ever had. We put him on a par with the Rosenberg, who gave away the atomic secrets, you know, 50 years before that.
Wayne Barnes, 30 years FBI counterintel, author of the book A Traitor in the FBI. And Wayne, I want to thank you for your time, and the book would sound fascinating just based on the conversation. Thank you very much for your time, sir.
I appreciate it. Thank you very much for talking.
You bet. Coming up, we're going to go back on a congressional hearing as we're trying to fight to protect women and the unborn, and the left is trying to destroy both. Wacko world that it is. Please stand by.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
When insurance companies know you're represented by Under Law, they know Under is not going to let you be pushed around. Their reputation is built on years of courtroom battles. If you suffer an injury or damage to your property, serve the insurance company notice. You have Under Law on your side, a St. Louis firm you can trust to protect you at every term. Don't settle for less. You want to win? Believe me, Under wins. Under, O-N-D-R, underlaw.com. McGuire Moving is silver certified, which means they are great at relocating senior citizens. In fact, McGuire is a household name because McGuire understands the stress involved when moving older adults. So if you or family members need help moving, I highly recommend McGuire Moving. 314-241-0600. 241-0600. Get a free in-home estimate. McGuireMoving.com. When I have business clients or guests from out of town, I often take them to Cafe Napoli. I know they're going to enjoy any of the Napoli locations. Cafe Napoli in Clayton, Napoli 2 in Town and Country, Napoli 3 in St. Charles, next to Napoli C, Napoli Kirkwood, or Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta in the Chesterfield Valley. Excellent food and intellectual conversation. If they bring the intellectual conversation. NapoliSTL.com. NapoliSTL.com. You should know that when I endorse Wellington Environmental, it's because I believe and know they will do you right. Wellington takes pride in providing homeowners and businesses whatever they need. You need some dustless blasting? They will take care of that. You need some mold radiation? They can do that. They take pride in training their team to perform multiple services and having the equipment ready to get jobs finished. That's important to you. You make just one call, and you call a company that's been around for more than 35 years with more than 45 technicians in the field. Most of you know finding good workers, then having them show up on time could be difficult. Not for Wellington Environmental. They're there at the designated time, ready to go. Check them out to see what they could do for you. Dustless blasting or anything else you need. Wellington Environmental, 314-644-4930. 314-644-4930. Be well with Wellington.
This is News Talk STL.
If you want to hang out, you've got to take her out. Cocaine.
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
When I was Attorney General in Florida, just a year or so ago, a woman in Florida got an abortion drug from out of state as part of a plot to kill her ex-boyfriend's new girlfriend's child in the womb. I mean, this stuff isn't made up. When I was a judge in Florida, back before I was the attorney general in my hometown, a guy got an abortion drug, put a different label on the bottle, labeled it as an antibiotic, and gave it to his former girlfriend and said, you need to take this. And she did. And she had to testify at trial with a picture of a sonogram of that child. This is not gaslighting. This is happening.
That is Senator Ashley Moody of Florida. And that was part of a hearing that took place about 4 months ago, dealing with chemical abortion. Banned in several states, but they sneak it in under either relabeling it or buying it somewhere and then bringing it in and giving it to a woman, or the woman does it herself. It's not gaslighting, as she said. This is actually happening. Now, some have been trying to preach, well, the chemical abortion will be better than going and actually having the physical abortion. Well, if it's not properly monitored, a lot of things can go wrong. A lot of things. It is basically the updated coat hanger abortion. In the days of the old, when abortion would be in a back alley using a coat hanger, this is pretty much it with a chemical abortion. They will try to tell the women this is going to be easier for you, and all they want to do is get money, and they make it on dead babies. They make it on dead babies. Florida Senator Moody was questioning Dr. Nisha Verma, and also was another member of the panel next to her that she had to switch and start talking to her because Dr. Verma could not simply answer basic questions. Here's a question that Senator Moody posed to Dr. Verma.
Ms. Verma, can men get pregnant?
Dr. Verma, yes. I just want to make sure we're
all addressing each other. Dr. Verma, can men get pregnant? As a doctor, give me your opinion. As a doctor, can men get pregnant? I'll move on to the next one. Doctor, can men get pregnant?
No.
I know you're a lawyer, an AG, like I was an AG. Can men get pregnant?
No.
Is there any reason why men should get their hands on the abortion drug?
None.
And are they getting their hands on an abortion drugs?
They are.
And are they getting them through the mail across state lines?
They are.
Even when it is illegal and the people have decided within states that they want to prevent that?
They are. And I would just add that is because there is a concerted effort to prevent any accountability and any human contact. So they go to anybody who asks for them. They do not identify now in many states the prescriber, the pharmacy, or the recipient. And so this is very dangerous. It is by design created that way in order to circumvent Dobbs.
But you never did hear Dr. Verma answer the question about can men get pregnant, did you? Missouri Senator Hawley was at this same session. Again, we're talking about 4 months ago. But it bears, if you had heard it previously, it bears repeating and focusing on, because this issue where the left cannot even identify what a woman is, and they come up with all these genders. I mean, Senator Hawley said, I want to go back to Dr. Verma and your question that never got answered.
Dr. Verma, I wasn't sure I understood your answer to Senator Moody a moment ago. Do you think that men can get pregnant?
I hesitated there because I wasn't sure where the conversation was going or what the goal was. I mean, I do take care of patients with different identities. I take care of many women. I take care of people with different identities. And so that's where I paused. I think, I wasn't sure where you were going with that.
Well, the goal is just the truth. So can men get pregnant?
Again, the reason I paused there is I'm not really sure what the goal of the question.
The goal is just to establish a biological reality. You just said a moment ago that science and evidence should control, not politics. Absolutely. So let's just test that proposition. Can men get pregnant?
I take care of people with many identities, but
can men get pregnant?
Many
answer
women
the question.
That can get pregnant. I do take care of people that don't identify as women. That
can men get pregnant?
Again, as I'm saying,
let me just remind you, you testified to a moment ago. Science and evidence should control, not politics. Absolutely. So, can men get pregnant? You're
a
doctor,
agree.
I think.
Science and evidence should guide medicine.
Do science and evidence tell us that men can get pregnant? Biological men, can they get pregnant?
I also think yes/no questions like this are a political tool.
No, yes/no questions are about the truth, doctor. Let's not make a mockery of this proceeding.
And all you had to say one way or the other, we know where you're thinking. Doctor, you probably want to say, yes, they can, but you can't quite cross that line. You don't want to cross it. And you can't explain why you think that. Well, she thought she was off the hook, possibly. She waffled tremendously, did she not? Well, Louisiana Senator Kennedy was taking part in an event 2 years ago questioning a human rights chief. Now, the opening sentence from Senator Kennedy is laughable, but hear what follows.
I want to start with sex, okay? There's male, there's female. When a baby's born, before the baby has had time to even have a sense of self, there's male, female, and intersex. There's a third sex.
I believe that is true, but I would defer to Dr. Lopez, as I'm not a physician.
Okay. And how many genders are there?
I think the gender is expansive, and the definitions are always growing. Today, I can tell you,
More than five?
I think the gender is not a binary, is what I'm trying to say.
But are there more than five genders? I'm just trying to understand. Are there more than five genders?
Well, I mean, I think that there was a time where women wearing pants didn't feel like it was appropriate for their gender, and yet I'm wearing pants today.
Are there more than five?
I wouldn't subject myself to naming how many genders there are, but what I can say is that gender is a reflection.
Number?
Excuse me?
There's an infinite number of genders?
I think depending on your culture, there are a lot of different genders that exist.
Put the woman on a farm for 3 years. I think she'll realize there are only two genders, and there are only, therefore, two sexes. These are whacked out people that are propagandizing to students in colleges and universities across the world, the nation, and in lower grades, preying upon your children, trying to fashion their future thoughts. Again, those were hearings. Well, the last one was Louisiana Senator Kennedy 2 years ago. And the other one was Senator Moody 4 months ago. But never again will you hear Louisiana Senator Kennedy say, I want to start with sex. But he had a good reason. Trying to identify and differentiate between sex and gender, and then how many are there? The left cannot give you a solid answer because they're the same ones, like during COVID, say, stick to the science, follow the science, but they will not follow the biological science. It does not fit their whacked out narrative. period. Earlier today, the Department of War releasing a third list of documents and videos and information on UAPs, unidentified anomalous phenomena, UFOs. I'm going to get into that in particular about one part of our state where we have seen numerous so-called orb sightings in recent years, according to this information being released today by the Department of War. I'll get to that before we wrap up this hour. But before that, Trump making America great again, helping hard-working Americans, our Commerce Secretary Lutnick.
This action, 500,000 square miles were closed to American fishermen. You couldn't go and fish. 500,000 square miles. I mean, just think of how big that is. And if you had an American flag, you weren't allowed there. But of course, everybody else went. So they went in our waters. These are our waters. Right? And so what did that result in? That resulted in us, instead of having seafood exports, because we have great fishing opportunity, we were an importer. We became an importer of seafood. How crazy is that? So the president is finally changing that. This is a massive win for our fishermen, massive win for our waterfront communities.
So President Trump, proclamation, restoring U.S. commercial fishing across 500,000 square miles, closed to American fishermen, but letting others come in and fish in our waters. President Trump was surrounded by fishermen.
Today's another example of you bringing these everyday Americans into the White House and listening to them. Yeah. How important is it for you to listen to everyday Americans when it comes to policymaking?
These people built the country, not the complainers. The complainers didn't build the country. These people built the country, whether it's fishermen or farmers or anything else. Me, guys like me, they built the country. And, you know, I watch all these ingrates. They're always complaining. They didn't build anything. They couldn't build anything. Look at what's happened in Minnesota, Somalia. All these people came in from Somalia. They ripped off our system. You have the woman who married her brother. She came in and married her brother. Isn't that wonderful? And then she talks about the Constitution of the United States. She comes from Somalia. They don't have constitutions in Somalia. They don't have police. They don't have it. All they have is people that run around shooting each other. And then she comes and tells us how to run our country.
Yeah. Yeah, we know her story, do we not? Ilhan Omar, we know your story. I'm going to expose it. He's right. These fishermen, they work hard for their living. And he's trying to help them earn more. Yes, the inflation rate has gone above the three-year mark, partly because, a large part, the Iran, quote, war at this point. But when word came yesterday that we might be very close to signing an agreement, the stock market went ballooning up. More belief that we're going to have an end to it, and it's going to be better for the nation. And whether or not it actually happens over this weekend, we will wait and see. We do know what else really hit the stock market today. Elon Musk bringing out his SpaceX IPO. It opened Friday today at trading under the ticker SPCX. SPCX, the largest IPO in history. Began trading on the NASDAQ earlier today. The initial public offering was $135 a share. I've watched throughout the day as the market has been open. And it ended up popping 30% after being introduced, jumping from 135 up to 160 plus. I think the high at one point was 175, 176 maybe. Whether or not you're going to buy any of it, your mutual fund and your IRA retirement group or whatever you have going that's buying various stocks and so forth for you, that's probably worth a look at this and deciding when to get in. You want to bet against Musk? You know what Tesla stands right now? Tesla? $400-plus dollars a share. $400 a share for Tesla. I'm not trying to encourage you to buy SpaceX. You make the decision. But I'd suggest you watch and talk to financial experts as to what you should be doing. In the meantime, as I mentioned, the Department of War released another series of documents and videos on UAPs, as we often would refer to them as UFOs. There is a video taken by eyewitnesses July 2025 showing two lights or orbs moving in what appear to be tandem in the sky. This is all in the northeastern part of our nation. And then in July 2025, they saw an intense bright light in their backyard as they parked their car when coming home. The light was about 25 feet off the ground, below a tree line of about 90 feet from them. They got it on their iPhone, recorded it. And that was released because it had been turned over to experts to see what it was. No one can describe what it is yet. They say the motion was silent and smooth, moving as in formation. As another case in the Northeast, within 25 miles of other cases where numerous orbs had been reported and documented on video, they can quickly identify if it's been tricked up and it's AI generated. But they cannot identify exactly what it was or is. But it is, again, the latest volume of information released on UFOs. Do you believe in them? Do you believe we're the only ones existing? Do you not believe there might be other universes? We know there are. Could there be life elsewhere? Those are questions you can have a few drinks over and talk about all night. But I will also tell you this. I do believe in God. And however you want to describe him, he's bigger than us. And put your faith in God and you will come out better. Have a great weekend. We'll be back Monday. And remember our pledge, one nation under God.
You can follow Larry on Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook. This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.